This is the beginning of Town One Right and the beginning of the visit with Ms. Davis from the horse farm this Sunday night after supper, the 21st of March, 1971. Beginning of Channel One Right and beginning of the visit with Ms. Davis this Sunday night after supper, this 21st of March, 1971. Channel One Right and the beginning of the visit with Ms. Davis from the horse farm this 21st Sunday night after supper, the 21st of March, 1971.
We had a big old kitchen like this, and my kitchen's too small at the farm. I told Papa I'd like to knock out the wall and make it larger so I could put in all like this.
Yeah. We
because
had
everybody needs one.
We had a couch over there and a couch across there, and you know, and then we just thought, well, we just put these stuff in here, and you know, we just found ourselves. It's just
in here all the time.
Just to sort of live in here.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's what we do.
And you know, when you're outside all the time, this is a marvelous excuse. We just don't need to have to do
well,
anything.
Well, I don't keep that, so I just don't thought about it anymore.
Guy said, don't wait on him. And this is just, this was just our sandwich for noon.
Oh, well, good. It looks delicious. It really does.
I know too.
I've got a mare overdue over there. She's been due since the night.
Since the night.
It's her first foal, and I think she's going to have a real big colt. I don't know. She doesn't, I'm getting awfully disgusted with her.
So
and she's getting ornerier every day. You open the stall door, and she bats her ears back at you, and I've got her up in the foaling stall. And I tell you, I've been up with off and on with her so darn many nights. In the meantime, three other mares that have foals, and we're still waiting on her. So I had a long talk with her today. I told her, I said, you're jamming up production. I said, I got five mares in here behind you. I said, hurry up and have this foal. As soon as they foal, I shift them over to that other barn.
Uh-huh.
And I can't move her because
she won't foal.
She won't foal. And I can't put her back out with, those look good. I can't put her back out with mares. When they were that close, I separate them.
Uh-huh.
And so they won't kick each other. They get ornery right before foaling sometimes.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot of times they do. So about 2 weeks before they do, I pull them out of there and separate them. And I'm getting so disgusted with her.
And of course she's one of your good ones.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fire down, they're up to the left, take the sweater off. It's down.
This is delicious.
This is hot. You know, I like hot ham. And I got tired trying to keep it hot. Well, now, where did you go today?
I had to go out to the turf center out on 200. And then I had to go by Tartan Farm.
Yeah.
The lady out at the turf center is breeding about four or five mares up there. And her husband's a horse trainer. And she had to run back to Miami. And she's got a new fella out there. She's afraid he'd get it all mixed up, which mare was going to which stud. So I had to go out there and get it straight with her. And then I had to go by Tartan Farm. And I'm breeding a mare out there myself to my dad, George. And I had to go, I had to sign the contract. And in fact, I lost the one they sent me. So I had to go out there and sign that contract and get that straight. So I ended up with a rather involved day.
Yeah, it right. That's the way my business goes. I think I can fix a fence in 30 minutes and takes me half a day.
I know what you mean.
No, I don't believe.
What is that stud? What do you call it, a stud center?
A turf center.
Turf center.
It's out 200, What they've done is what's that real estate man said? I don't tell his name. I can't think of it now. Anyway, he bought up a whole block of land and built a track. And then he sells off this acreage around it to little farms.
Mm-hmm.
So they have one of those little farms out there around it.
What's a little farm? 100 acres?
No, I think they've got about 40 acres, something like that. But
you can handle a lot of horses on 40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need so much acreage?
What time you build your barn, have separate packs. Do you have separate horses? In other words, after a colt is 2 years old, you don't generally let them out together. They all go on a separate paddock.
Yeah.
And your mare and mares and your info mares, you generally separate.
Paddock for pasture?
Uh-huh. And then you separate your own fillies and your own colt, or otherwise you might breed her.
You have so many batches. Now that's what is troublesome to handle.
That's why it takes darn many different barns and fields.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what kills me, see, with cows. Unless I just go ahead and sell everything at one time and not.
Then you got to divide them up and separate this and that, yeah.
And it just increases your work so much whenever you got one extra batch, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Now, so that's why you have to have so many to help you.
Yeah. I've got a barn full of weanling, of yearling fillies down at the back, and I got a barn full of yearling colts over here. And that's what I'm talking about.
See? And you can't let them get together, no.
Oh, no. Lord, those colts would breed some of those little fillies, believe it or not, but though they could.
Under 2 years?
Hmm?
2 years or under?
They're a yearling, 1 year old. But they,
1 year old. Is that right?
Sometimes they'll fool you.
Yeah. You just push them along and you think you're safe. And
you can't run them together.
I don't know about horses, but I lost one of my prettiest calves this year. And the way it figured out, she was bred when she was 7 months old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to take everything out from our bull, too, or he'll darn sure breed them.
Well, I never heard of that. We had no notion.
Oh, yes, they will, too.
Because the guy's so careful, he doesn't leave them with the bull.
Yes.
Huh?
She was good. Well, that's a pretty good sized baby.
When would you gel the colt?
Well, as soon as he's old enough for everything to come on down, right? You can gel them as a yearling or as a 2 year old.
Oh, can you?
Mm-hmm.
You okay.
You have to get a vet to check them.
Oh.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then.
Mm-mm. You have to get a vet to check them and gel them. They aren't doing a cow.
No.
Huh.
They aren't like doing a cow.
No.
Mm-mm.
I tell you, some people can pick the cow up.
I know it. A lot of people do. I ride at birth, a few days old and all, but a horse is a little different. I've had people bring them over there where they tried to geld them themselves and about killed them.
Yes, that's what I do. I used to get away with it, but I've got so now, I'm so careful. Last year, I could have got the vet out here. I could have done it myself when they was born, you see. Geld them, make sure of them, and I never do it.
Mm-mm. It's always so funny.
And they get pretty, and, you know, I just love to see those little calves, you know, the way they swagger along like an old bull. And when you get them up to breed, to selling time, weaning time, You gotta get them ready to go to sale.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you can't sell them to bulls. You have to sell them to steers. And
well, a lot of people are gonna be selling them from now on because the steer isn't bringing that much more. He's bringing just a few cents a pound more.
Yeah. Well, they're all selling so high now. They're like tobacco. You don't have any second, so everybody's getting a high price.
So I've heard several people say they weren't going to steer them out anymore.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. That wasn't worth it, you know. I don't know, must be some cost involved or something.
Well, they have a little bit of handling you do, you know.
Uh-huh, cut your profit.
Well, I bought $20 worth of penicillin
delicious.
Last year.
Because got it.
That's the worst I ever did.
You die looking at my net vet bills.
Oh, he was gonna save it, you know. He was gonna save the
vet. I was gonna do it myself.
And then do it himself.
I got so I can't even give black leg shots.
Well, every time a mare folds, we give tetanus and a combiotic. Do the fold, tetanus and a combiotic, and boy, you can use quite a bit of it just on folding.
Yeah. Now, who does that?
We do.
Just one of the boys?
Yeah, I can give them. I give shots too.
Well, you can, but you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you a regular hand?
Mm-hmm. Right. I bet you can do anything the boys. It's that intravenous stuff that gets me.
Oh, I see. You need a nurse.
Well, I can do that too, but I don't like to. I hate to give anything intervene.
You need a nurse close by.
Well, if it's just in the muscle, I can shoot them up
Yeah. Funny.
Why?
I say if it's just in the muscle, I can
Yeah. Shoot
them up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I sometimes bend the needle.
Oh, me.
You jab pretty good then.
That's one reason I started raising cattle. I thought, well, son, that'd be nice. I can be my own pet. And I used to just take pleasure in doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I do it so seldom now. When I go out there, it takes me a while to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drench the cows with, you know, give them that worm medicine, I mean, down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just dread it. And you see, I'm pretty tender. I'm just a death man now.
Well, who do you have now that does all that then? Do you still do it?
I do most of it. I get in trouble, I call the vet.
We have to gain a little bit.
We usually have a little something to help call him, and when we do, I let him do some of the other things too.
Is that Dr. Dudley?
No, we don't have Dudley now. He has been out here, but I think we recently mostly have had Anderson from Gainesville.
And Beecham.
Beecham. Mm-hmm. And that Dr. Owen, that wonderful one who died.
Mm.
But Missy had Sandcock. First time she ever, she's the only horse that Jackie gets things. You know, she'll get everything coming along. So I never saw a horse with Sandcock at college. She was lying out there, you know, groaning and crying like a baby. And there were four or five girls were out here that afternoon, I think. Late afternoon.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon. And
start walking.
And yeah, so we called. And he said, walk him, keep walking until I get there. Don't let
I've walked him for 48 hours.
Oh, really?
I sure have.
You mean that long?
Yes, sir. They've had oil and everything else, but before that thing would break loose, we've walked him.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken turns and walked him for 48 hours without stopping.
Even after you fill him with oil?
Well, we held her up and walked her. He got here late.
Because if they lay down and roll, they'll twist and test him.
And I remember he said, now let her lie down. He had given her a lot of things, his maternal leave, and she lay down. And one girl was holding one hoof, one was holding another, one was holding her head, one was rubbing her tail. And I remember he stood back there and looked at the horse and said, the horse is not going to get well. She's having too good a time being sick.
Yeah, I remember.
And he'd call me every day. He would call me to ask me how that horse was.
Mm-hmm.
I wished I had a doctor that good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's his name? He's the one that died?
Dr. Owen.
Oh.
That's right, Fee. The vets pay a lot more attention than the others do.
I often wish that I had a doctor that cared as much about me as these vets care about these animals. Yeah.
Now, is it easy for you to get a vet?
Mm-hmm.
You got plenty?
Mm-hmm. Oh, but he won't take care of my cows. He just horses. So I've got to find a vet for my cows.
Oh.
Came out one day. He was young looking, tall, slow.
Yeah.
I thought, well, if you know anything about a horse or a cow, I'm mighty fooled. And we just liked him. We liked him very much.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I shouldn't eat all this stuff.
They all
Well, Power is too busy with horses. He won't touch cows.
He just got all the horses he can handle, is that
mm-hmm.
it?
But I got to build something to send these cows up then. If I had a vet out for him, he'd have to catch them in the field.
Yeah.
And I doubt if he'd want to play ring around the Rosie all day. So.
You'd have to hem him up in a horse stall.
I don't know. That's about the only thing I've got. I'm just not equipped for them. I'm going to have to build one of these. I have figured them out, to tell you the truth. I'll look at them. Of course, they go this way a little bit, and this way a little way, and that way a little way. Then they go into a big pen. What's the significance of that?
Oh.
Why do they do that?
Yes. Well, yeah, you need to... Now, if you have, you don't need that unless you've got, so they can't see ahead.
Oh.
They get to the corner and they don't, if it's the corner there, they don't know what they're getting to.
Well, I often wondered why they did that. I couldn't see why they just didn't run them straight in there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go, in other words.
Oh, they'll go better if they don't know where they're going.
Well, I'm glad you told me that about cows, because I never could figure it out. I thought the damn fool just went to a lot of extra trouble.
But you know the way they go the best? If you're
following a bucket of feet, I imagine.
They're all like that, I guess, don't they?
Mine do.
If you'll just run them through the runway every now and then, and don't load them. And they won't know what it is. Just like you just run them through there, and then go ahead and feed them. And they'll think they're going to eat
mm-hmm.
when they get through. And all you have to do that a couple of times. And then their whole attitude changes.
I ain't got any runway.
You got to figure that.
Well, I know I have to build one. So I was going to build one this summer. That's why I've been looking at them. And I couldn't figure out why they go like this and this and this and all
yeah.
this stuff. I just couldn't figure out why they did all that stuff.
Yeah.
It looked to me like the object was to get them in there, just build one gate and
yeah.
open the door.
Well, if you get someone to put it up for you, get somebody that's built them before. Now, I put in this silage out here. And the man that dug it for me, I put it in a trench as his first trench.
Mm.
Well, everything he done is wrong. He knew how to operate a bulldozer or a drag line.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't know how to dig a solid trench. He started at the wrong end.
Mm-hmm.
And it never would work. Never did drain.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Johnson.
Hmm.
And he's a good man. He knows everything. Except Silas Simpson. That was his first one.
Oh,
and he never did one again, I know. It broke him and me both. He couldn't charge me everything it cost him.
Mm-hmm. For the mistake he made.
Yes. And for the machinery he busted.
Oh.
He deducted a great deal on that thing out there. We got into those little flint. You see this this clay. It can be pure clay, blue clay, pebbly clay, or it can have big old flint rock.
Right, uh-huh.
And once you get in that old flint rock,
you can tear up about anything.
Yeah.
Drop them in it.
Yeah.
I laughed at my men though one day. You know, sometimes a woman is so dumb she's smart. You know what I mean? They got the post hole digger stuff in this hard clay. And those damn fools, they went and got this and that and all this stuff to try to get it out. And I looked at it and I could see the way the bands went on it. And I said, well, why don't you just take it off and turn it the way it back the opposite way, you know? And they looked at me and they said, oh, I've never seen that done. I said, well, just try it. Well, it came right on out. And they looked at me so funny. They had been working there for 2 hours trying to get that thing out.
Yeah.
Oh, and they never thought about that. But it looked to me like it made sense, you know.
Yeah.
So it worked.
What were you telling me? That, not that same thing has happened to me, but not quite that bad, about your pond.
About my pond?
Yes.
Well, I had the Army Corps of Engineers out, and they told me, first of all, to build that cement wall up there. When they redid that road, they put a gully up under the road, and Buddy Huff's orange grove is across over there.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he sprays it and it rains, it runs down that gully in my pond.
Yeah.
And it polluted the devil out of it. That's all there is to it.
Hmm.
So what they tell me it does is, whether it's insecticide or fertilizer, all those nutrients, they just kill that pond.
Sure.
Yeah, so they told me the first thing for me to do was to put that retaining wall up there. And to let the state highway department worry about where it goes, because I have the right to block up my own property. In fact, actually, the darn state road department ought to do it. I shouldn't have to do it if I made enough stink. But I just figured it'd be easier to do it myself. I could get involved and argue with them for 2 or 3 years. But then they're supposed to help me come in with a drag line and clean that out and deepen it out. That pump filled in a great deal from all that running down those hills.
Yeah.
That land was farmed, and then Daddy didn't plant trees or anything to hold that soil. So I've got some erosion problems. So I'm trying to get those trees in, like they told me. And then I've got to get that all cleaned up, and they're going to deepen it out. And the way I understand it, I've got that one place still there that slopes down so steep, they'll
mm-hmm.
put a lot of that in there. Build that up to where maybe I can make it into a little field, a paddock or something. And then I've got to get all those weeds cut back around it and everything. I don't know whether they're going to treat it with something or not. But the first thing they told me they had to do is get that drag line in there. Is it all right if I mess with it? So we'll see what happens. But when I first came up here, everybody used to go fishing that pond.
Oh, it was.
Mm, it was full of fish.
In good clear water.
Mm-hmm. And being a dumb city gal, I didn't realize what was happening to it.
Oh, that's just since you've been here.
Well, there was a little bit of algae around the edges of that pond when we came up, and the wind would sort of blow it back and forth, but it was never covered.
Yeah.
And it was never even half covered.
Yeah.
Now, the first summer, Melinda kept saying it was spreading, and I went down to that pool place and got those big jugs of chlorine and tried to put in there to clear it up. Well, it didn't do any good, of course. And this be going on the third year. Hell, it's just a mess. That's all there is to it. I don't think there's any good fish left in there. Can't be now, because I've opened the lock. I've got the
uh-huh.
water way down so it'll dry out so we can get in there
uh-huh.
and mow around it, and I'm going to burn off around it. Then when they come in with that drag line, maybe they can, maybe we can get something to tell heads or tails about it.
Well, where do your geese get water?
They drink it. It doesn't seem to bother them, but I wouldn't want a horse or a cow to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or do they have a place there where they can flap?
Evidently, they don't seem to have any trouble getting it.
I didn't, when I just have mentioned, you know, I didn't remember that much open water where they could sit down in it.
Yeah, the wind blows that stuff back and forth, but some days it's more spread out, looks like it's all over. It's a dirty old stuff, that old house.
Yeah.
Now, then when the state road department, they just cut a ditch.
All the way across the road.
And from the underneath that
I asked
that
Daddy
cover.
Why, after I found out what happened to the farm, why he didn't make an argument about it. And he said he really didn't realize it until they'd already done it. So I said, well, I got to pay for your darn mistakes, because he should have raised a bunch of hell and let them. That was the easy way for them to clear up the drainage, you see.
Uh-huh.
So
they just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ruins your. Just
sure it does. That's an eyesore.
Well,
and a polluted one at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see what they do to me up there where the coals are, they cut through my bank and send the water down in there. And it's not the water that bothers me, but that water has got all sorts of seed in it, Johnson grass.
Oh, God. That would aggravate me.
And that'll get all over your place, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I can't cultivate it. That Johnson grass will get started. If you, as long as you graze your land, it'll keep the ground Johnson grass down. But they don't say hello.
Mm-mm. Well, I think that's trespassing on your property rights myself. Well, my husband's a lawyer. He told me I ought to go make the state road department build that wall. He says I ought to make them all come out there and help clean that pond. He said if I put enough political pressure on them, they'd get the bus out there and do it. But if he were up here, I'd let him do it. Because he's been chairman of the Democratic Party and all at home, and he knows how to bop that little axe, you know. But I don't feel like up to tackling it myself. What I know about politics, you can put in a thimble. Now he could go down there and talk to them in such a way that they'd be out there, I think, in no time flat.
Yeah.
But
and he'd do it with ease.
You know, the Army Corps of Engineers wasn't going to come out there. They said since I didn't have an outlet to a waterway. So I called Claude Pepper, and then I called Bill, my cousin Chapel. And I told him, by God, they had polluted all this pond. And in case of a national emergency and we had to use this water, it wasn't fit to use. And I said, y'all are yelling your panties off about pollution. I said, now you get them out here and let them do something about this pond. So boy, he was over there that week, that fellow from that Army Corps of Engineers. Now Claude and Bill both told me they were supposed to help me do it this spring. Said if they don't help you do it this spring, call. Said we'll see if they do it. So I'm going down to talk to them this next week, and if they don't come on out there, I'm going to call. Because it cost me thousands to put a drag line in there.
Sure it would.
Oh, it would cost me.
What makes mine so bad is they tell me that Mr. Nelson tried to raise catfish. And when he built that pond, he went out and brought in all these cypress stumps and put in there. Now, they're just rotten up, too, you know. So, there you are. When you get finished, you got them in there, too. I mean, those cypress stump things.
Yeah.
It's full of those.
Yeah.
It's just full of those.
Awesome.
You're talking about raising catfish.
Well, I don't want to raise any darn catfish. I want to get all that mess out of there.
Well, here's the thing of it. You, this thing, I started it, and I found out it was a little bit too much for me, but here it is.
all my ashtrays in the other room. But just you can use this except,
yeah.
Except when you want to
raise catfish.
I don't even like the way they look. I don't want to raise them, I'll tell you that.
Raise catfish in a pen. Right out there in your own pond.
Not me.
Don't you like fish or just catfish?
I think they're the ugliest things I've ever seen.
Catfish?
Mm-hmm.
I think that catfish is the only freshwater fishing that's left over on Iron Place.
They're catching a few bass, but very few catch brim.
I mean for commercial.
Oh, yeah.
See, he's got it all worked out there, and it looks simple.
Mm-hmm. What do you feed them? It doesn't say what you feed them.
Yes, it's pellets.
Oh.
You get pellets.
I could see me going down ordering catfish pellets. I got enough trouble buying pellets.
I don't guess they have to be catfish.
I just want to get the darn thing cleaned up if I can. That'd just be something else to hire a man to feed every day. Because it'd be a cinch, I'm not feeding any catfish.
Well, you know, here, let me tell you. You know, we are, in a way, in the same boat. They ask me what sort of pets I have out here. I don't need any pets.
No.
I got her. She said that with feeling.
See, this is what he did. Ponds with numerous stumps in the bottom are better for the culture.
Yeah.
And that's what he's got. That when they, I get that water down, which it's getting down now because I got that lock open. You ought to come out there. I bet there's 100 stumps in there. All from little tiny ones to great big ones, and one sticks way up. And you can't pull those things out with a tractor or anything like that. They just don't budge.
You can't get hold of them.
No, it's cypress. There's not a tougher wood around than a cypress thing. They've obviously taken root in there, even though they are stumps. So, boy, you just can't budge them. I'll tell you, I've tried.
That wasn't your idea. That was...
Oh, no, Mr. Nelson, we bought the farm for him, put all that stuff in.
He was the man before you.
Yeah, he put all that stuff in there. I guess he built it, see.
Yeah.
And evidently he was trying to raise catfish from what everybody around there tells me. I don't know. So anyway, then he died. And his wife farmed the place for a couple of years, and then she sold it to us. And it's just gotten to be a mess. That's all there is to it. Just a mess.
Now, it hasn't been a horse farm too long,
has it? That's why I've got all those trees and all to put out, because it was farmed. They had all the trees down.
Oh.
But I hope you're not fixing dessert for me.
It's not
very much, because I'm full.
Okay.
I don't normally eat sweets.
Wait.
Since I'm on the chubby side, don't normally eat food.
I'll tell you, just nibble on it if you want to, and if you don't, just ignore it.
Delicious.
It's just
Now let me see, that old dead hay or grass that Ed hauled over there last fall.
Uh-huh.
He used that for bedding.
No, well, they ate it too. No, they ate a lot of it. They ate a great deal of it. Because I keep them mostly on sawdust.
Yeah. Oh.
I would show you.
And this not as absorbent as...
Well, it's just too expensive to use that bedding. Your stuff is bedding. Shoot, they eat it. I mix it in with the coastal and that and northern alfalfa and Timothy. I put a mixture out of all of it.
Yeah.
And
well,
they ate it.
They have it mixed anyhow.
That's right. That's right. Instead of feeding all of one kind of hay,
yeah.
I put out a mixture.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you know?
Well, that makes sense.
Now, you have to get Timothy from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was brought up on, Timothy.
Mm-hmm. I can get Timothy about as cheap as I can down here, just about. Get it for $1.25, a big deal.
That old big, straight stalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's good for them. Alfalfa I have to pay more for. But,
Yeah.
I get an alfalfa clover mixture, too. And I just put out a mixture. And if you watch them, they'll go around and eat some of all of it. Oh.
Yeah. Now this Alice clover down here won't take the place of alfalfa.
I don't use Alice clover. I know a lot of people who say it's good, and I bought it 2 years, and I got the damnest, thinnest stuff you've ever seen.
Well, that's
and it's about $10 a ton higher, and.
But that's the people you got it from.
Well, I just didn't like it. I just quit bothering with it. Alice clover is good, but you have to feed them a mixture. That you can't
you
feed
know,
a horse straight Alice clover. He'll get bloat.
You know, the hay people, I kind of like some of my old friends up the country. I used to live out there. I never owned property like them down here. It was a great mistake owning it.
Just want to look at somebody.
I always, if I were on to work, I'd go out to Prudence or somewhere like that and put in a little tobacco crop or something.
A lot of fun that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you, that is such a feeling.
They're pretty thankful. And I remember we used to gather the eggs, and they had the little house that they lived in until they put up a great big stone house. It's just a little old wooden frame house, and they use that for the egg house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all like that. One time they must have had 30 cases of fresh eggs there that they had been accumulating for months or two.
What were they accumulating them for?
Fresh eggs.
Yes, sir. And they found
how could they be fresh?
And you know, I look back and I can think of that so often that we'd keep them with fresh eggs.
Big pile out in front.
So we got a case of them or something that we'd take them in. And there was no. There was no duplicity about it. We always thought of them as fresh eggs.
I have found down here that the hay people are even worse than that. They'll let that, I mean, we talked about that, you know. They let that old Pangola hay, it'll stand up, you know, after it's decrepit.
Yeah, I know it.
It'll still stand up and look like it's hay. But it's not even fodder. And they'll sell it to you for good hay because it stands up.
Mm-hmm.
And these are honest people that believe that.
But they really believe that. They really do. Mrs. Sharkey buys Pangola all the time for her cows. And she's always talking about the good hay GP lightness gives her. So I went out there with her one time to feed those damn cows. And she got the hay over there. And I looked at that stuff, and I said, is that what you feed those cows? I said, that Pangola hay? And I wish you could have seen it. I'm not kidding. Oh, that was a mess, an absolute mess. And she thought it was a bet, real good hay. I didn't say anything. I just shut up. And GP, she thinks GP sends her the best Angola hay. Jeez, I'm going to go with hay.
Well, you know, it's almost like Oral Roberts.
I'd have a sick horse if I fed him that stuff. I know that.
As long as they get comfort from Oral Roberts, you know, just let him go on.
That's right.
If he can heal him, let him. And GP is a faith healer, isn't he?
He must be. That's who I bought the Alice Clover from 2 years in a row. I did. He charged me 45 a ton. And my God, I couldn't feed it. I ended up giving it to the cows. That was the toughiest, stimmiest stuff you've ever seen. You couldn't find any clover leaf.
It
looked like looking for a needle in a haystack to find a leaf on.
I don't believe any stem can get quite as hard as that Alice Clover.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Now that old indigo.
It gets stringy when it gets hard. It gets absolutely stringy. Daddy says a cow can eat a lot of things a horse can't because he's got two stomachs.
Yeah.
But a horse, you just end up with a sick horse.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't got that second stomach to pass it off to.
We would have a little friend who knew a lot about horses when we first came out here. She'd come out a lot.
Yeah.
She just loved horses. And she knew about horses, and she wouldn't buy a bale of hay unless she could eat some of the hay herself. Mm-hmm. She would just chew on that hay, and if it tastes right to her, then she'd buy it for her horse. I can see Sue right now chewing on that hay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good way to tell, too.
Mm-hmm. And then she'd be suspicious that they'd change bales on her.
Yeah.
They're going to be on. Stick out her bail.
Yeah. I'll tell you, these people that surround me here, the Richard brothers, they have some Angola right over there that's thick. You can't dry it, you know. They
Where does Mark Richardson live? I'm going to get back with him one day. Boy, I never got to meet anybody in all my life. He's got that land over there. Buddy House Orange Grove, and that other land right west of him is Richardson. Well, I get up normally 5 o'clock. One Sunday night at 12:30, I think it is, in that field across from me, here comes all these big tracks. And they went and they went and they got the lights going and this and that. I put up with it till about 1 o'clock, and then I called, and I asked him, I said, do you mind telling me what in the Sam Hill these damn tractors are doing over here across here at night? Well, he'd contracted that out. But they went until 4:30 in the morning, and I could have killed him. I told him, I said, I'm going to find out where you live, and one day when you're not expecting it, I'm going to come up there with every tractor and every truck and everything I got, and we're going to beep horns and keep you up. I never heard of doing all that damn stuff at night.
I never heard of it either. What were they doing?
They were planting that field in rye.
At 12:30 at night in the morning?
12:30 to 4:30 in the morning.
I never heard of that.
Well, they went all night long. And you know, they had those big tractors. I'm telling you, they sound like they're coming right through the bedroom window. And it'd be the light going in, and then it'd turn, you know, and oh. I got up. I just sat up and took an O-dose and worked all night. I was so damn mad I could have, oh.
Let me tell you.
I told him.
You don't know what it is to get good and mad.
You don't know me. I'm Spanish. I'll fix him one day when he's least expecting it. I'm going to bring everything I got and go circle all around his house.
Yes, I have made worse threats than that. These fellas back here on this swamp back here, you can see it. And they come out there with that little airboat. And they just gun it a little bit, and then they let it float. And they gun it a little bit, it sounds worse than an airplane. And right out there, it could be right here in the backyard. It wouldn't sound as loud as it does back there. And I don't like airboats anyhow.
I don't either.
We like the birds.
And the frogs, I'd rather let the
what are they after?
Oh, they go back there, right? And you know one of the biggest ones is old Benny Franklin. And he's one of the richest men in this whole country.
That's something.
He owns that.
You know Ben Franklin. No, I don't think so.
He owns that one of the big shopping centers there in Gainesville. And this mill.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Franklin box thing. Up
yeah,
there.
That is mill. He keeps it going.
I guess that's where they have, why they have money to catch their own frog.
Well, he likes to get out and, you know, do those things. And he's got a boy working for him there that just builds little things. He's a genius of a mechanic, you see. And if he'd shoe horses, he'd shoot anybody.
You know, we own a little bit of the swamp back there, one of the entrances to that big swamp back there.
I didn't realize there was a big swamp back there.
Yeah. And we can just get mad at anything, can't we?
I not only get mad, I get fanatical.
Just like
I get murderous. I have murdered my mind.
And you know, you wouldn't know how you felt like that unless you own a little property that, you know, living down there in Miami, you wouldn't know anything about that.
Mm-mm. Well, that's the first year he ever did that to me, I'll tell you. I really didn't appreciate it. Had my horses running all night and everything.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
That would be terrible.
I was mad. I was just plumb mad.
And that was, that was.
Because if he had come over and told me he was going to put it in, I could have put some of those info mares in the barn.
Oh, I hadn't thought about it.
Oh, yeah, because I had a mare slip. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, there's just no excuse for starting that crap at night like that. You see, a horse can't see good anyway.
That's right.
And that noise and those lights flashing at night like that, they weren't used to it. And I had those mares in that front field.
Mm.
And all he had to do was come tell me and I'd have put them in the barn. They wouldn't have got so shook up. They ran. Early the next morning, we went to pick and bring them in. They were soaking wet. Well, it's a wonder they didn't get pneumonia because it was chilly. They were soaking wet. They'd run all night.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is what I don't like because that's a pretty selfish, calloused individual. He doesn't either know anything about horses or give a damn about his neighbors, really. Because thoroughbreds, something like that really shakes them up. And if he had just told me, I could have put them in. And I don't know, it just wasn't the thing to do, just coming there without saying anything.
You don't have any much dealings with the natives, you know, the people who've been here. Well, you see, they grew up here. Mark's daddy was the first one, I guess. They came down here in the 1880s and 90s and flourished.
I don't understand the Richardsons. There must be two or three families of them because I know one of them goes in the trading room feed all the time. I know he's got cows. He's got daughters. I started fussing at him. He told me that wasn't him. That was the other Richardson. What's one that goes in the trading room? Billy Richardson.
Yeah, Billy's nice.
Yeah, Billy's real nice. Uh-huh. He said he was. Yeah. He just laughed like he said, don't blame me. He said, that's a different Richard. He was nice.
Yeah, Billy, I used to see Billy a lot over at that Simon Ranch. I haven't seen him in years, so. I'll tell you how I saw him the most. I saw him over there. But up here at Ruby's, they used to have lunch.
Mhm. Mhm. They quit it, cut it out.
Yes. And that was a fine place to see neighbors. I see they have just as good a place at night, you know, the bar. Except I don't go out at night.
I wish somebody'd buy the trade winds. I know that, because I tell you, there's lots of days when I'm just too tired to fix anything for lunch. And the food down there just gets worse and worse and worse. I never saw two lazy people in my life ever missing the barn.
What are their names?
Bonner, they just don't work at it. He's a drunk and stays drunk. And she's a great big fat thing. You can go in there 7 or 8 times a day for a cup of coffee, and every time you go, she's sitting up that stool eating. And she doesn't really cook. She never greets anybody at the door. I mean, they're just butt lazy. That's all there is to it. So I don't know. I don't feel sorry for them at all. I mean, if they worked hard at it.
And that's a good place for it, too, for a
restaurant. Sure it is, because there's nothing else near here to go grab a sandwich or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I go down
there. That's right. Nothing.
But I pulled back from going down there. They went up on the prices. You get lunch $1.40. I can run into Ocala and run some errands and run that copper kettle and get a big hot meal and everything for $1.25.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
That copper kettle in Ocala.
Whereabouts?
It's over there across from Bugsy's. They have good food. And
yeah.
Theirs just get sorrier and sorrier and sorrier. And
you know, at Ocala, on the square, on the corner, they used to have the finest eating place. I don't know the name of it. But it's not there anymore. That was when the courthouse was there. And they just probably moved out somewhere else.
I don't know.
And people just came from everywhere there for that at noon, at dinner.
I'd forgotten that, yeah. I like Ocala. Well, yeah, you're not too far. You run down there.
Well, I don't have time a lot of days. I either fix something at home or run down the trade wing. But it's getting so sorry, it's not worth paying for it, the trade wing. You get a hamburger to bring out that pressed meat cardboard, I call it. I just won't eat that stuff.
But there's not ever any time at your place if there's not something to do.
Mm-mm. Oh, hardly.
Now, Ed can't handle it all.
Ed quit, thank goodness.
Oh,
he quit.
Gosh, your turnover is big, isn't it?
Well, I was going to have to fire him because he just wasn't doing the job. Ed's a sick boy.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and I've been trying to tell him he was for a year and get him to go to the doctor, and he wouldn't do it. And he got to where he couldn't remember 2 and 2 or 4.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. He got to where he'd work for a couple of days and he'd be dragging for 2 weeks. And I don't know. It just puts a damn much on me that I sat up with a mare. I couldn't find a night watchman. I've got one now. So that first mare we had beautiful was a very valuable mare, and the doctor told us she was going to have trouble. I sat up with that mare 5 days and worked all day. You know, I'd go get a nap and work. So I had our horse trainer came in town this far. So I asked Ed to sit up there with her. I said, now I'll be back 11:30. And you watch it till I get back. I got back to the house 10:45. The phone rang. It was my dad, and I kept telling him, shut up. I said, don't talk now. I'll call you back because I got a mare ready to bow. Time I changed clothes and went up to the bar, and that mare was in the process of having that bow, and she had torn a hell and back, and Ed's home asleep. So after I delivered the bow and got the vet out there, called the vet, got the cord doctored up. I had to put that strong iodine on the cord. Gave the shot, got him wrapped, wiped him off and everything. I went back in and I called Ed. I said, why don't you come down to the bar and see what's here? Took him 15 minutes to get down there, so you know he wasn't even ready to come. And I just laid him low. I said, I asked you to stay with this damn mare until I got home. He said, I'm good, and I'm not too good to sit up for 5 nights. So who the hell do you think you are? You couldn't even sit up until 11 o'clock. He says, I was just up here 5 minutes before. I said, now I'm going to tell you something. I said, that's a goddamn lie, because I pulled in the driveway at 10:45. And time I changed and talked to Daddy on the phone and got up here, it was 5 after. And I said, she was already having it. And that mare tore all over the place. And Doc sewing her up, took her 45 minutes to sew her up, and he said, this is negligence. He said, if you'd have folded this mare like I told you to, you should have never torn like this. He said, wasn't anybody here to give her a hand? And I made Ed stand there and help him. He didn't say anything. He just hung his head.
So finally I told him, I said, no, I said, everybody around here has to have 16 hours sleep. Now, how would you feel?
Well, I understand.
Now, this is not just a $250 horse you're dealing with, either.
No.
But even if it were, it would be.
But it's the principle that when your help starts thinking that they're too good to go out a little way.
Yeah.
But you're not too good to sit up 5 nights. I told him, I said, when you reach the point where you figure you're better than the owner, I said, we better part company because, you know, I'm not lazy.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'll work. But I said, when you absolutely couldn't put yourself out to stay up till 11 o'clock, then something's wrong. And I had sat up with her for 5 nights in a row.
You never get anybody that'll run with the bull for you like that.
Mm-mm. That they're gone. That day's gone. You can't find anybody unless you happen to luck into somebody young, and I haven't found them. They don't want to work. They don't have. I'm in a business to where a young fellow who starts off with me could really go up.
Yeah.
Because I give a bonus, I give paid vacations, I've got all sorts of things like this, and I'm just starting now, and I don't owe any bills right now. I don't owe the first bill. So, time I add these barns and start building this business, why, 3 years from now, somebody's going to be making some money. And yet you can't find anybody who wants to help build a business with you.
Now, isn't that something?
And I've got over $500,000 invested in horses out there. And they've got to pay off.
Yeah.
Not the land. I'm not even talking about the land or the buildings. Just the horses.
Just
the stock.
The horses.
And yet I can't find somebody who wants to help you build a business.
I thought I'd let Mother come.
I take your horse. She can sit right here.
She can sit right here. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear.
But you just can't find anyone to help you build a business. That's all that is.
Let me tell you, I talk to these chaps there on the campus, and I tell them things I hear about you, but they don't have jobs. And you know what the first thing they do is they say, what's the hours and how much do they pay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't say it would be a good place that I can learn something.
No, or whether there's any advancement. But see, I paid Ed $135 a week and gave him a house and paid his utilities. Now let me tell you something, Mr. Miles. Any young man who can't make it on that for a beginning salary is in bad shape because
bad
he didn't pay any rent or utilities. What the hell did he have to pay? His water's free, his light's free.
Yeah.
He didn't have any rent, and yet that idiot couldn't live on it. He had bill collectors out there all the time. Now, I live on about 70-something a week. I'm the owner. Now, I live on about 70-something a week, but that idiot couldn't live on 135 a week.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Something's wrong with the world. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Fine.
She hears us talking about horses so much, I just thought you...
Oh, come on in.
Come on in and sit down.
No.
We're going to have another cup of
can
coffee.
I get you something?
No, not a thing.
Mother got just a teeny little upset stomach, so she had to have a soft boil egg, and that's what she said she
oh,
did.
I hope you don't have that virus.
No, she doesn't.
Don't think
now, this is way before the end of Channel 1 Right, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Davis this Sunday after supper, Sunday night after supper, the 21st of March, 1971. The visit with Ms. Davis this Sunday night after supper, this 21st of March, 1971. Channel 1 Right, the end of Channel 1 Right. Well towards the end of it, must be around 900. Well towards the end of Channel Right, Channel 1 Right, the continuation of the visit with Ms. Davis from the horse farm this Sunday night, 21st of March, 1971.